Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. We are on our third media day. Junior producer Isaac Munoz killing it, getting us all the content. Today, we've got Jason Kreis, Justin Glad, and Axel Kai. This episode will conclude all of the content for this week as the guys go out to preseason, and we will be back after the weekend with some really cool news at the RSL Show. Guys, I am pretty excited myself. I know we've been hinting at it. I think for the OGs, you guys are going to be really, really happy at the changes that we're going to introduce at the RSL Show, so stay tuned. First up, we've got Jason Kreis, Team is the Star. Let's go to his interview and get this started.
What are the first few weeks back in Utah been like for you?
Crazy. There's a phrase out there, right? Drinking water from a fire hose. That's me. I'm learning a lot. Went through budget discussions for the first time, so understanding what all that looks like and means is scary and daunting, but good. And then going through the process of having the team here, I think that's when things started to feel real. Getting a chance to speak to the players, getting a chance to speak to the entire staff, getting a chance to speak to the academy staff, the Monarchs coaching staff, then the majority of the Monarchs players. It's all been really good. Yeah, just trying to set the tone and talk a little bit about identity and culture. Those have been, I would say, my high points so far.
You obviously had a lot of experiences and positions since you left Utah. How would you say that the Jason that we see before us today is different from the Jason that left in 2013?
We don't have enough time to answer that question. It really is probably could write a book on it, to be honest. Learned a whole lot of things about, you know, different ownership structures to management styles to dealing with players with massive names, world legends of the game. So all of that stuff, and then, you know, experiences with national teams, understanding all sorts of different tactics, and then, you know, in Miami starting an academy, so getting the youth side of it. Working with the U23 team for the national team, working with the second team for Inter Miami for a year, so which had so many experiences in the game that I think I guess the simplest way to say it is a much more rounded person and educated person in all facets of the game.
Jason, we heard the other day from Pablo, Anthony, Nate. They all use the word alignment. Mm-hmm. Collaboration quite a bit. I feel like that's probably a little bit of a reflection on some of the work you've been doing. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the pyramid, if you will, from Academy, Monarchs, first team, and how it all fits together?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Trey, first of all, you have to talk about ownership, right? And I think that's where it starts, in my opinion. It starts from ownership to then management, front office people like Kurt, Tony, and myself. Moving down to coaching staffs, you know, the coaching staff for the first team, to all of the soccer staff that's involved with the first team, to then the staff that's in the Monarchs and the academy side, we're calling that the development side right now, to then, yeah, all of the players as well. That's what I think about as alignment, just a leadership alignment structure, and that we all have the same core values, same vision, same identity. When we start to the soccer side now, I think it becomes even more, a little bit more defined, and more opportunity there to talk about alignment from a soccer style point of view, from a game model, from a methodology side, that we're all talking the same language. There's a lot of words in this game. We need to be using the same ones. We need to be having the same ideas about how we view a game model, what we want to do in the games, to then tactics, to final pieces, how we want to develop the players. And we're moving in that direction. It's not going to be a simple process. There's just so much to get through that I think it's going to take time. But I would say I'm very, very pleased with the initial sort of first month, first couple of weeks, I guess, actually now. Feels like we're moving in a good direction.
Are you able to kind of naturally liaise between those two sides and turn around, I mean, I guess, kind of building off that alignment just because of your role working with the business side, but also your experience and technical staffs and coaching,
yeah,
that kind of thing? Are you all, I mean, I feel like you're almost a natural kind of liaison between those two departments, even if it's not necessarily intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have been in my interview to get this job. No, that was a what I thought would be a big selling point was the fact that I've been a professional player. I obviously was a youth player in this country and developed through this country and college player. And then you move to the coaching side. I've been an assistant coach. I've been an academy director. I've kind of worn all the hats necessary to, I think, be empathetic to people and to support them in a really positive way, in a really meaningful way. And I looked at this opportunity and said, I'd like to go about this in this sort of role, go about a leadership role in a different way, in a way that maybe I haven't experienced in my coaching career, and offer a different sort of voice and a different sort of ear to hear these people and to help support them.
It kind of feels like the player at the center of all this discussion, RSL, especially right now, is Diego Luna. Talking about a young player, someone who's kind of come up through the developmental side. And then I'm curious, with your experience, having worked with, you know, a lot of U23 players at the national level, what do you see from Diego, and kind of how does he represent maybe the things that RSL is trying to do right now?
Yeah, I think anytime that I think about a player, I like to think first and foremost about the person. And everything that I've heard, I haven't even actually had a real conversation with Diego yet because he just now got back a couple days ago, but everything I've heard is that this is a really quality person. This is somebody that does represent the values that we have at this club about, you know, hard work, an idea that, you know, you have to earn the things that you're given. You have to earn your opportunities. I think last year he came in, was a brand new player, and Pablo did a really nice job of essentially making him wait and making him work extremely hard to get the opportunity, such that when you do that and you put a player in a position like that, oftentimes what you'll see is now you're bringing out the best of them. And when you are giving them an opportunity, they've earned it and they're ready for it. And so those are the things that I really like about Diego. I think it's also important, you know, I'll be the guy in the room to say, let's all just slow our roll a little bit, right? Because this is now a second-year player in the top professional league, and oftentimes there's going to be a little bit of a step back. Now, I'm not saying that there will be, but I think we should be prepared and ready for it and feel like it's okay, because this is a very young player that has a bright, bright future in front of him, and if we put too much weight on the player, then we could end up hurting him, which in turn hurts ourselves.
I guess kind of along a parallel path, or maybe a few years removed, is Fidel Barajas.
Mm-hmm.
What has you and the staff, both the technical staff and the front office, kind of excited about that potential?
Yeah, I mean, what you see with Fidel is some of the similar qualities, because you have this very young player who's had some extreme success in the championship, and has attacking abilities and qualities, but he's still willing to work extremely hard. And that's the thing that oftentimes you see it more often than not in young attacking-minded players, that they're skillful, they have talent, they, you know, can make things happen when they have the ball, but oftentimes when the ball turns over, then they think their work is done. What I really was impressed with Fidel about is, to, you know, it's one thing to see the goals and assists and great services that he makes and all of his abilities, but what I was impressed more so than anything else about was when the ball turned over, this guy was sprinting back to help his team defend. And those are the types of qualities that Pablo places an extreme amount of value in, and this club really appreciates and will need if we hope to succeed.
Good.
You talked a lot about development and kind of your role working with the development group and the senior team and all that. As you're kind of building up that, everybody thinks of building up the development side like vertically from bottom up or top down, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is there also a way to maybe kind of build it out laterally in some ways, or utilizing maybe other leagues like the championship or that kind of thing to identify talent and be able to bring them into an umbrella there? Is that also?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, if you just look at the Fidel signing, and if you look at the Diego signing last year, if you look at back in even like Luke Mulholland before him, Johnny Steele. I mean, this is a club that's always done, I think, a really nice job of looking down in those lower leagues and saying, where can we get value here? Where can we grab some guys that are going to be hungry, that are going to be, you know, a little bit less expensive than going sign foreign international players? So I think it's been a club that's always been very smart about that. Then you add on the layer about college players. You know, some of the contributions that this group got last year from the college players was, I think, second to none. Fantastic. And we're hopeful that we can continue doing that. So when we talk about development, we're not just talking about the academy. We're also talking about developing young players, right? I don't think it's going to be our ambition to go out and sign 30-year-old USL championship players. But if we can find young players that we can work with and develop, that's going to be a major part of our focus.
You just heard from Jason Kreis. Up next is Justin Glad.
How are we feeling going into 2024, Justin?
Yeah, feeling good, feeling excited. You know, every year is a new opportunity, and, you know, we got some new players, got some old guys still, but I think everyone's buzzing to just get back out there.
Who's been sticking out to you so far from the new guys?
I've been really liking Kevin Bonilla. Who else? I really like Tommy. But there's honestly, all of them have been incredible. They've put in the work every day, and they're definitely bringing the energy levels up.
And then with the new coaches, what have they brought to the team?
I think they're bringing more, what's the word? More like preciseness. More, it's just a little, feels a little bit more. They're demanding a little more out of you and making sure that the little details are there. And that's the difference, you know, when you get to this level, it's obviously everyone can do the basic stuff, but it's the little things that separate everyone. So them just demanding that every day, I think, is going to be massive.
You guys head to Portugal on Sunday. What are you looking forward to with that trip?
A lot. I've never been to Portugal, so I'm excited to kind of see what that country's talking about. And then I know the competition is going to be good. I know we play Brøndby, and then I'm not quite sure who else, but I'm sure the competition is going to, you know, bring the best out of us.
And then what are you guys working on to get ready for that first game this season against Miami?
Yeah, right now we're just working on all the principles. Obviously, when you bring in different coaches and new players, you want to hammer home the principles. So we've been working on a lot of our, you know, attacking different stages in the attack, different stages in the defense. And then, you know, we're just slowly building it all together so that we can come out and have a full game plan.
Speaking of that, they mentioned to us a little bit, like, the idea of the attack starts with the defense. What does that mean for you, and what does, I guess, what you have to do in that system to be part of the attack and help the attack, I guess?
Yeah, for us it's about just getting the ball up the field and first of all getting the ball to our attackers, but they want us to kind of provoke the attackers of their team a little more, draw them out so that it's easier to play around, and when the attackers do get the ball, they have a little more space to maneuver and be creative. So,
Justin, just a couple questions for you. It was really cool to kind of see your development with Brian Bear as the season went on as kind of your center back partner. Can you tell me a little bit about your guys' relationship, your partnership, and what kind of makes you guys such a good a team together in the back?
Yeah, I would almost compare it to like the Borchos Olave kind of thing, where he's more of the destroyer, and I'm more of the voice and kind of guiding and doing all that. But he's been phenomenal. You know, I think his confidence is growing every game. Every you know, this year he's had a great year. He's got that year under his belt, and I think it's only going to get better.
Awesome. Amazing. And I know you've committed your future to RSL with the contract extension, and it's just so cool to see a homegrown kid come and still be here and committing his future to be here. What does it mean for you just kind of be like almost Mr. RSL, being the guy who's been, you know, RSL fans across generations now know as the person they, when they come to America First Field, they see Justin Glad?
Yeah, no, it's a huge honor. Obviously, I'm very happy that the club decided to extend my contract. I'm very happy to be here, and it is sort of wild. You don't see that too often, you know, of, you know, staying with one club for my whole career at this point. But it's like I said, it's a huge honor, and I'm buzzing to be here and happy to be part of this community and looking forward to continue being part of it.
Amazing. And, you know, just kind of following up on that too, like you said, it is pretty rare for like a player to spend as much time on club as you have. What is it about Real Salt Lake that made you so confident being like the place that you wanted to be?
Yeah, for me, I mean, the way the club has treated me, it's been awesome. I think Utah for me is home now. I have my brother, sister, they both live out here. My parents are moving back. So it really is home, and yeah, I've grown really you know, just I don't want to say comfortable, but it does feel like home now, and I'm just excited to keep putting my roots further down and sticking it out a little longer.
Amazing. And the last question for me is, you know, there's been a lot of changes in faces in the locker room this year. You know, Dami's gone, Saba's gone, and you being one of the longer tenured players here, do you feel like you're taking on more leadership responsibilities with this group as you go into preseason?
Yeah, I think so. I think every year it's kind of been a little more and more. I think they've kind of wanted it to be like that as well. And it's awesome. It's a role that I want to be in, and a role I'm excited to fulfill, and hopefully I can guide the young kids, the college kids that we sign, and try and help mold them into being the best pros they can be.
Amazing, Krista.
How many goals are you looking for this season?
At least 5. I want another 5 or anything else on top of that, we'll take.
All right, you heard it. 5 goals from Justin Glad. That's his goal for the season. And now we will hear from Axel Kai, which he's got a pretty fired up interview. I actually like what he has to say. Axel Kai.
Yeah, how's the first week of the preseason been for you?
It's been good. It's been honestly good. Everything's been floating the way we wanted to. Once again, like I came here last year, I told you that the chemistry in the locker room has gotten better, and this year is even more and better. As you can see, if you guys have been watching the training, the chemistry has gotten really good between the players, and I'm loving it. And I think that's something that we need to if we want to achieve some stuff and achieve a lot of things this year. So I think it's very important for us to connect even more and know each other more, because at the end of the day, we spend a whole day together most of the time. So it's like a family now. So I love it. I love it. We fight each other. We push each other every day, and everything's been flowing really, really well.
You made your MLS debut in the fall.
Uh-huh.
What was that whole experience like, I guess, and what are you looking to carry over into this season?
It was a fantastic experience, to be honest. I was lucky enough to play in front of my parents, because I'm from California, and my parents were able to come. And yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's been a dream of mine. I was loving it. The coaches made it special. My teammates made it special. I think the whole staff and everybody in the club made it special. It was a long time coming. Everybody's been here. Has been waiting for that day, including myself. Had a couple chances. Could have buried it, but, you know.
How was it going through that experience with Gozo?
It was good, of course. Gozo is definitely one of the talent that, you know, I'm close with. He's got a lot of potential. And, yeah, it was good going in there. We were really excited. And we're telling each other, yo, we go in there, let's try to put one in. And he did try to give me some assists, and I just couldn't execute. But it was fantastic. It was both of our dreams. Parents were proud, and we're from the same country, so it was even more special.
As you're coming up through the system, kind of progressing with the ranks from academy setups to Monarchs to everything else, how important was it to be able to kind of see that first team action? Just as like a, I don't know if it's a motivating tool or anything, or just kind of like a reminder of like, this is what I'm working for, kind of thing.
Obviously, you know, when you work so hard to get to a level, because to get to this level, you definitely gotta have something special. You definitely gotta, you know, you gotta have something in you to get to this level. Now, if everybody can, there will be thousands and thousands of players at this level. So, I think to get to that level, it's like a joy, especially coming from a youngster like myself, from coming from the U15, U16 to the whole system. It's a joy. It's a proud moment. You know, it feels like a dream, because that's the point of waking up at 6 a.m. with the academy every day to get to that moment, to feel that it's short, but the juice behind it is special. It's something that will keep with me for the rest of my life, for sure.
What's kind of the next step for you? I mean, you made that debut. You got a taste of it. What's
I don't care about the debut anymore. I don't care about the debut. It has no effect to me. I don't care. I only care the night it happened. It's gone. If you ask my teammates, after the game, I was pissed. I'm hungry. I want to score goals. I don't care about age. I don't care about, oh, he's young, he's this. That's it has nothing to do with me. I want to score goals. I want to help my team. So I'm not carrying that night with me. It's in the past. It's long gone. It's far, far behind me. I don't care. I just, this year, I'm focused on this year. I just want to score goals, and help my team. That's the only thing in my mind this year. That's it.
I love that attitude. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I love that mentality, that kind of goal scorer mentality sort of thing. Yeah. Have you always
had that, or is that something that you had to develop?
That's something that I always had. I think that's the reason why I'm here, where I am today. People call it cockiness. I don't call it cockiness. I call it a kid who just knows what he wants. Knows what he wants and just harden himself and really truly believes that not you could get what you want if you believe. And that's my mentality, and I believe that I could be a player at this level. And the people who know, my teammates know, they tell me every day. So I got the confidence my teammates, they tell me that if you really get fit and do what you're supposed to do, I believe you can score 12, 13 goals. And those are guys that have been in the league for years. Justin Glad, Marcelo, they tell me these things all the time. So if my teammates tell me this, I believe it's kind of an extra boost. Not extra boost to my e-boy, but an extra boost to me thinking that I could score as many goals that I actually thought I could, because my teammates that have been in the league believe so. So, yeah. Yeah.
Ax, how do you set goals for yourself? Do you just look at the next day, the next game? Do you have some ideas in mind? And you don't have to share them depending on your comfort, but
yes, sir,
for this year, like, okay, mm-hmm, these are the things I have on my list.
The things that I have on my list is to prepare for a game. I just came into the game thinking that the center back who's in front of me after the game, if he doesn't shake my hand and tell me good game, I didn't do my job. Because at the end of the day, if I didn't give an assist for my team to score, I didn't do my job. So I come into the game any way possible, I want to be able to help my team. If it could be an assist, it could be running, winning the next ball for my teammates. It could be anything. Anything I could do to help my team, that's the way I'm thinking it. But the main focus at the end of the day, like I said, is put that ball in the back of the net, for me especially. So, yeah.
Do you look at Open Cup or Leagues Cup or some of the, you know, there's a lot of minutes out there. There's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
We've seen guys in the past use those competitions or those minutes to earn MLS. We can go back every year. There's a million examples, but do you kind of look at those games as other opportunities to just earn more and more and more?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I said, any minutes, like I said last time I was here, this club didn't give me nothing for free. I had to earn everything. You know, the reason why I played that game, made my debut, is because I earned it. It was a long time coming. I earned it. It happened, and if the coach gives me the opportunity to play in those cups and play against foreign teams that have really good players, I'm going to take it in my best of my abilities and, like I said, help the team to score goals. And if the coach thinks I'm good enough, he has enough trust in me to put me in an MLS game, then God bless. I'll be in there and do my thing.
I know it's only been 10 days, but how is the vibe, the energy around the new voices, the new coaches? Maybe how has that sort of affected Pablo's communication style?
I think it has affected the group a lot, because the new coaches that came know what they want, know what they're doing. They know they really are aggressive of what they want from the group. And I think the message that's going through everybody, we know what the coaches want. We got to defend as a team. And I think now it's even more important. Pablo actually wants us to, we got to have an identity. That's what he wants, an identity of a team that just nobody gets passed by us. No through balls between us. No nothing. We're a team that is aggressive, hops on the front on the first ball and just dominant. Like, we want to be the team that once the team comes, like, excuse my language, that we're playing them again. We want to be that team that puts fear in the opposite side. Yes, sir.
There it is, Axel Kai. Love the attitude. Love what he had to say about instilling fear into the opponents. I'm all for that, and based on the social media that we put out, you guys are also pretty stoked on that too. The RSL show will be at training on Saturday. We're going to try to get some interviews if we can, but after that, we'll be back to do two major announcements for the RSL show. One, like I said, the OGs, you'll be really happy with that, and then the second one, I'm really excited about, and Alex Napolis should be really excited as well. So that concludes our RSL show. Find us on social media at RSL show. Go check out our YouTube. We posted all of the media interviews on our YouTube, and we're trying to grow that channel. So go there, go listen. We're also posting all of the podcasts on YouTube as well. So join the movement, join the page, come support us. And as always, we appreciate the love and the support that you guys give to the RSL show. Without you guys, none of this would exist. RSL show on the KSL Sports Network. See you next week.